Welcome you all to this conference on Nokian Tyres interim results on Q1, and also be talking about the future a lot. Here in Helsinki, we have present investors, analysts, and some media, probably eager to ask me questions about Russia, but we'll leave that for a bit later. The presentation which we'll be using in this conference has been published this morning on our website, and I'll try to remember to mention the page which we are on when we move along in the presentation. I'll start the presentation by some key messages and an overview of the situation, looking at the results, the market situation, and then also we'll be moving to comments on all our profit centers and talk about various markets, naturally about Russia and CIS. I'll talk also a bit about how we see the pricing developing during this year and also how the various main cost elements evolve as we move forward. But first, before we go to the numbers, a couple of key messages which I would like to pass on to you before we start the number crunching. First of all, we feel at Nokian Tyres that the market has turned for the better for most of all the Western market. We are seeing both car and tire markets returning to growth, and already during the beginning of this year, we've seen quite good market development, practically on all our Western markets. The message relating to that Nokian Tyres have been performing quite well on markets. We have been able to improve market sales volumes practically on all markets, improving our market position, improving also market share. Of course, the positives are shadowed by the situation and the uncertainties related to Russia, and nobody knows exactly what is going to happen in Russia or with the Crimea-Ukraine crisis. But everything we mentioned in this report are based on the thinking that we estimate the situation to continue pretty much the same as today, with some of the trade barriers being tightened, but business in Russia continuing and goods being able to be exported and imported between our main markets, between Russia and the Western market. Okay, then I'll please turn to page 3, where we have a summary of the results of the first quarter with some comments on the market. And the general comment on the result is that despite a decline in the top line, we were able in the first quarter to improve our gross margin percentage. We were able to maintain our EBIT level, and we also managed to improve cash flow quite a lot by roughly 91 million. The EBIT declined by roughly 6%, despite the fact that our sales volumes increased in the passenger car tire business by 9%. The top line was, of course, affected by devaluations and currency changes. The effect was about 32 million euros, and if we factor that back into the top line, we had, with similar currency levels, a growth of roughly 3-4% compared to the previous year. When looking at the operating profit, we made a 68%, 68.4 million EBIT. That includes a budget provision of 1.7 million, which means that the EBIT, operational EBIT was in the ballpark of 70 million, so slightly better than before. And operating margin percentage was pretty much on the same level as the year before. I'll be talking more about what happened on the markets, but the decline in value and ASP, which was created mainly in Russia and CIS, was then mitigated by the fact that we were able to show quite healthy growth on all our Western markets. We had 21% volume growth in Central Europe. We showed very healthy growth also in North America and Nordic countries. And you could summarize it by stating that all the key markets in which we operated showed volume growth, including also Russia. Russian volume of the market increased during the beginning of the year. And our volume growth was, roughly speaking, about double compared to the general market volume growth. So we managed to improve our position. The profits, of course, were helped by the fact that we had quite strong tailwind from raw materials during the first quarter. We gained about 20 million euros during the first quarter. Mitigating factor on the top line decline is the fact that some 55% of all the volumes which we produce in our factory in Russia is exported to Western markets and invoiced mainly in euros, and the margins, of course, are improved by the fact that the majority of the costs in Russia are improved. And the difference between making product in Finland, Western Europe and Russia has increased. We have been previously talking about a difference of roughly 10 euros per tire as a benefit for Russia compared to Finland, and that has now changed to a level of roughly 13, slightly more than 13 euros per tire for the benefit of the Russian entity. I'll come back to the outlook, but perhaps one point which is worthwhile doing is that we gave a profit warning a couple of weeks ago and have stated that our top line is and EBIT are going to decline. It's important also to remember that our net result will increase clearly during this year and also our cash flow will improve clearly during this year. So we are talking about numbers where we have positive and negative. Then we'll move on to page 7. And as usual, I will be comments on how we operated in Q1, what various factors we saw in Q1, and how we expect them to evolve and develop as we move forward during the beginning of the year. And the first thing I would like to say is that when looking at sales volumes, we had an increase both in sales out and also in production. Our production volumes in increased compared to last year by roughly 15%. When you combine both manufacturing in the Russian plant and also in the Finnish plant. We expect, when moving forward, to continue to run at high utilization also during Q2. So also the production volumes are going to be higher during the second quarter. We expect the production volumes in the third quarter, when we have had a summer break of roughly 2 weeks, to be roughly on the same level which we had last year. And it's a bit early yet to state what will happen in the fourth quarter, but same level or a modest increase in production volumes is what we are looking at. And all that would indicate that when talking about passenger car tire volumes, we are looking at top line or sales volume growth on an annual level of somewhere between 5 and 10%. When we're looking at 2 years compared to last year. Then when looking at the ASP and the mix of what markets we are serving. Our average price is, of course, affected by the Russian devaluation and also the product mix and the country mix which we operate. And that varies quite significantly quarter to quarter. The first quarter is dominated by sales to Russia, which means that the effect of the Russian devaluation and the negatives are at the highest point during the first quarter. And as we move forward, that will in fact be diluted gradually. So during the second quarter, we still deliver a lot to Russia. Then during the third quarter, the share of Russian business goes down. The Scandinavian and Central European business volumes go up. And during the last quarter, we have then mix, which is fairly much the same as the full year. And the effect on pricing, if we're looking at it, and ASP is basically that we will see an improvement in ASP in the second quarter compared to the first quarter. And we will see an improvement in ASP also during the second half compared to the first quarter as we move along. What the total ASP is going to be, of course, depends on many aspects, but I would say that probably we will see a full year ASP in euro terms, which will be between 5 and 10% below last year's ASP, and all this in euro terms. So those will, that is the reason we are stating, indicating a lower the factors of volume and ASP. Then when looking at how we see the markets developing, we will move forward to the first next page, which is page 9, and which is basically verifying what I already stated on page 3, looking at page 3 and talking about the development of our business in various markets. But looking first of all at the Nordic market, our traditional home market, in these markets we had a market volume growth of 4% during the first quarter, and we more than doubled our top line growth compared to the market growth, which means a clear improvement in the market share, and specifically in winter tires. When going forward during the full year in Scandinavia, we expect the car sales, which have been increasing with a volume growth of 15% during the first quarter, the growth will gradually slow down. We expect the full year car sales growth in the Scandinavian market to be somewhere between 5 and 10%, and also the volumes in the replacement market to be up around 5%. We expect to be able to outperform the growth in the market also during the rest of the year, so continuing what we've done during the beginning. In Russia, I'll be talking about that more in detail, but we had a volume growth of the AMV segment in Russia of 4% during the first quarter compared to last year. In volume terms, Nokia Tyres had growth, and we outperformed the 4%, basically taking slightly more than 50% of the volume growth on the market. So there was an incremental volume for the total market. All that incremental growth in Russia, Nokia captured more than 50%. So a clear improvement in winter tires, especially. In Central Europe, the market growth in the replacement market was in the ballpark of 10%. And our volume growth was 21, and face value growth about 90%. And we were forced, due to the tight pricing environment in Central Europe, to give away mainly not price decreases, but some like decreases which were done during last year, our ASP came down in Central Europe by 1% compared to the previous year, which means that both the gross margin and the EBIT levels in Central Europe improved quite significantly compared to the previous year. When looking at North America, there was a quite heavy winter, and the channel inventory is on an exceptionally low level, which is shown by the fact that our growth is significantly higher than the average market growth. At the moment, that channel refilling seems to be continuing, and bodes good for the full year, and especially for the second quarter, as we are delivering quite a lot of North American volumes during the second quarter. So basically, the total message on this page is that we expect the market to be fairly healthy in all Western markets. We expect and target to outperform the market growth, continue to take market share. In Russia, the situation is more difficult to predict, but our estimate is that market volume growth, which we saw at the beginning of the year, would fade during the year, and we'll see at the best a flat market in the replacement market, but probably a slight decline in volumes and a clear a cut in the value of the market because of the devaluation. Okay, then I'll move on to page 9, where we have the biggest input cost in our operation, our raw materials, and we've changed our estimate for the tailwind from the previous. We were talking about 30 million of tailwind for this year. Our estimate, let's say a quite safe estimate for this year, is 50 million in tailwind for raw materials. And you could say basically that we had already 20 million in the first quarter. We had a quite big tailwind in the second quarter, and then less during the third and fourth quarters when we're moving ahead. But the trend is at the moment that the raw material cost measured by euros per kilo will go down quarter by quarter, which means that the raw material cost in Q1 is higher than in Q2, Q3 will be lower than Q2, and Q4 will be lower than Q3. So continuous gradual like decline in raw material cost. And of course, provided that we are able to maintain and improve the pricing a bit compared to the first quarter, that would improve our margins a bit. Okay, then we'll move on to page 11, where we have a summary of the structure of our total sales. And I'll pass this one fairly quickly, just stating that all the changes in profitability on EBIT level and the negative one came from our biggest unit, Smart Tires, whereas all the two other, our heavy tires and Vianor, performed better than previous year, and we expect basically this to be the case also for the full year when moving forward. And let's turn then to page 12, where we have a summary of the car tire business, which of course I've been talking about all along. But I think that the main message, apart from what I already been talking about, is that the share of Russian production in our total structure was during the first quarter about 77%. So 70% of volumes produced in the first quarter, which was slightly less than as a share compared to what we had as full year for last year. We expect and plan and are going to ramp up the Russian operation so that during the rest of the year, the share of the Russian output of the total will increase. And that for the full year, we estimate it again to be on the level of roughly 80 to 82% of total volumes. Our fixed costs decreased also slightly compared to the previous year in this operation, and we expect to be able to like continue to grow the volumes and take market share as I stated. So all in all, you could say that what we are targeting with this operation is volumes up, try with the mix to mitigate the like effects of the crisis in Russia, and continue to run a very tight ship. We are also not going to use a lot of capex during this year, and will be pretty much focused on cash and making sure that working capital also is taken care of and will reduce a bit during this year, hopefully also providing slightly a slight improvement for total operating cash flow. When looking at our products and product range, we state on this page that we have been very successful in magazine test again and also with launches. On the following page, on page 13 and 14, we talk about the new products and how we've been performing. During last year, of course, we had the major revamp of our total winter type offering on main market. And I would like to remind those who have not been following the company for a long time that the best effect of the winter type launch is not reached during the first year, but during the second year, which means that the benefit of the full range being on offer for the full year, that's a bit the situation. We're looking at volumes and the mix of size. We are also going to continue to launch new products apart from what we've already done. We had very good test results in summer tires, especially in Central Europe and Russia CIS. And we are going to, alongside the products which we already launched in the beginning of the year, is on page 14, the SUV tires for winter tires, our new van tires in the Hakka range to launch, have a major launch during the second half of this year for additional SUV tires, upgrading again our product offering. Okay, and then to Russia. And let's take first of all a couple of like issues. We have, this is on page 15, and we have on page 18 and 20 summary of all the main drivers concerning how we see the economy, how we see car sales developing, and how we see the replacement market for passenger car tires developing. But as a summary, I would like to state following. First of all, Russian GDP estimates, of course, have come down. And nobody knows exactly what will happen. Our estimates are based on a thinking that Russian GDP will be flat to slightly positive, which means 0 to 1% GDP growth for 2014 compared to last year. The worst case scenario, of course, is that it will decline and that the Ukrainian crisis will change, which is, of course, a totally different ballgame. The GDP growth and the economy in Russia will depend basically on two main factors. The big one, of course, is the crisis and how that escalates or doesn't escalate, and what type of trade barriers might or might not be in force. The present trade barriers, I and the Russians see as quasi-trade barriers. They have practically no effect on business in Russia. And but of course, the situation is getting a bit tighter day by day as we go forward. Then the second major factor in Russia, and which has been present already and has been shadowing the GDP development and economic development in Russia, is interest rates in Russia and the actions of the Russian Central Bank. And there are quite good reviews made by economists. I would advise you to read, for instance, the head economist of Sberbank, who has a very enlightened view on what has happened in ruble crisis and economic development during previous crisis, and what type of like measures have what different effect on the market. In short, referring to him, the Russian Central Bank should stop pumping funds into the market in order to like have a positive effect, as the money is now used mainly for forex play and not supporting the economy. Okay, I'm not an economist, so you should talk to people who are. Then, when looking at car sales during this year, of course, the beginning of the year has been surprisingly positive. We've seen a decline only of 2%, with Western cars growing about 2% also, compared to previous year. When talking to our customers in car dealers, they state that their order books are actually at the moment on a very good and healthy level, which bodes good short-term, also for the second quarter. But we estimate that there will be a hangover later on during the year, that we will see a fairly positive market in the beginning of the year. And unless there is some like changes, we will see a decline during the second half of the year. When looking at the driver, which is the replacement market as such, and the fact is still that the car park in Russia continues to grow, and it grew last year by roughly a million cars more in traffic than the year before, and that with this level of car sales of, let's say, between 2.5 and 2.8 million, the increase in the car park will continue at the pace of 1 million units more in traffic again, which means that the replacement market is going to be healthy. The effect of this for the Russian market is that especially the B segment is the growth segment presently, and we can also see that in our product mix by the Nordman range growing faster than the Hakkapeliitta range, taking a bigger share of the total sales in Russia. Having said that, when looking at the last timing of things, looking at Q1, we had quite a lot of Nordman, more than half of the sales in Russia were Nordman rather than Hakkapeliitta range. Expect and know from our order book that this ratio will turn into two in the favor of premium, which will have a quite positive effect on the ASP for us during the second quarter and help again to improve things. Okay, so that perhaps as some forecast and talking about the market itself and how that is developing. Of course, we had a decline in the first quarter of roughly 36 million relating to devaluations and the mix effect. And the one thing which also has a big impact on us and our guidance is the rest of the CIS and specifically Ukraine. In Ukraine, we have been selling annually in the ballpark of 500,000 tires. And of course, in a situation where you don't know whether the tires you deliver are going to be on the barricades or under a car, we are not making a lot of business. So that has faded away. And what we are doing in Ukraine presently is trying to support the existing 150 Vianor shops by delivering them based on cash and euro pricing. So we believe that the negative effect of that for the full year will be in the ballpark of, let's say, 30 million compared to last year. So that combined with the devaluation is what we see at the moment. And that, of course, needs to be then compensated by the improvement in the Western market. Then longer term, okay, I have been doing business personally in Russia from the 80s. And seen a couple of already during Soviet time, and then, of course, Russia being created in 92 or 93. Basically, this type of crisis is normal in Russia when you have a longer view. I've been talking previously to all of you, stating that you should assume that Russia is not a straight line for looking at development. It's an upward going sinus curve where we have a downturn every 5 years with the devaluation of the ruble and some hassle in the marketplace. And this is the moment when market shares, also like assets and wealth is re-provided and redistributed. Our game has always been not to run away, but to become very active, of course, taking calculated risks and continuing to build our operations. So our view on this is that, as I wrote in the interim report, that every cloud has a silver lining, and I believe personally that we will come out of also this crisis stronger than ever, having a stronger market position and going strongly forward again. I think that when looking at what happened in the first quarter, it's a good indication of that we have the element for doing this. And I will turn to the next page, page 16, which is the distribution. And of course, all our competitors are also looking at how to develop their operations. Presently, we have about 3,400 shops carrying Nokian tires in the stock during the season and selling our product. So we have a quite wide and covering distribution base. Our Vianor continues to develop. We added 9 shops during the first quarter. And the fact that our volume growth during last year was roughly 50% of the total volume growth during this year, at the beginning of the year, was more than 50% of the incremental growth is basically because of two things. Our product range is the best for the Russian consumer and for the Russian distributor to make this. And secondly, we are able through the network which we have to reach during the seasonal market, all the market, and provide also a follow-up during the season itself, keeping our distribution base and our wholesalers and retailers very loyal to us. The Vianor, as you've been following us for many, many years, is continually growing, week by week, and which we are not losing in the other end. They're just adding to shops, which I think is a proof of the strength. Then we're looking at the industrial side on page 17. We have now 30 production lines in production, and the production output is running depending on mix between 38 and 47,000 units per day at the moment. We have been running the factory at practically full speed since we started second, third week in January, and we will continue to run the factory at almost full utilization throughout Q2 and moving forward. At the moment, what is happening there is that we are in the process of adding to manning. We have been manning the factory only by 12 crews, 12 line crews, and we are presently adding a 13th crew so that we will have full manning and we are able then to utilize the situation. There is still space for further expansion in the factory. The new plant which we built and opened 2 years ago is able to house four production lines, and we have three at the moment. The 40 production line, we were planning to put in already during this year, but due to the crisis which we have at the moment, that has been postponed, and we won't do it until next year. This has an impact on Russian CapEx. Our CapEx in Russia for this year will be limited to about 25 million euros, which is slightly less than half of what we invested in 2013. Of the operation as such, we're looking at a longer term view. We have so far spent in the ballpark of 800 million in capex and investments on the plant, and to date we've taken out as dividends about 1.2 billion. So the factory has almost paid the investment back twice in cash. And when looking at the profitability of the Russian operation, I can tell you that since 2007 until the end of the last year, analysts have been guessing that the like EBIT margin is somewhere between 40 and 50. Well, the correct number is that during these different cycles, our EBIT margin has varied between 43% and 48%. And during the first quarter of this year, we are also within this bracket. So the profitability of the unit has not disappeared. And when talking about the profitability, that is the full consolidated profitability of the unit, including also the exports to the Western market, not just singling out what we do in Russia. Okay, then on page 18, 19, and 20, we have comments on the markets, and as I already commented, we'll pass them and take a couple of short comments on the smaller profit units. Vianor, our distribution channel and our spearhead for growth, continue to grow. We added 29 shops in Q1, and we estimate that the full number of Vianors will expand to more than 1,300 during this year, so roughly 100 shops more in during this year. And also on page 22, where we have the map of what we have at the moment, the NAD, which we started, launched as a new franchise model back in 2012, we added 103 shops to the structure during the first quarter, and expect to be up to about 900 shops by the end of this year, adding more than 400 shops to the structure, mainly in Central Europe. So Vianor and NAD development in our franchise will be focusing pretty much on developing Central Europe, and we expect also to open a couple of new markets. We don't have NADs and many Vianors, for instance, in France, which is one of the targets for growth here this and the next couple of years. So that will be added to the structure in 2014. Then heavy tires, which represent roughly 10% of total top line. We combined last year the truck and bus and the OTR, the heavy tire, to special heavy tires. The comment on that is that, first of all, the business is very cyclical. Normally, the cycle is in the ballpark of 6 years. Over the cycle, we are making normally an EBIT on the level of 50%. And we have passed the bottom of the cycle, and presently, our order books are very healthy, and we are in the process of upgrading and increasing the output and utilization. Last year, we were running this unit with a utilization rate of only 65%, making an EBIT of roughly 11%. This ratio during Q1 was still the same. There are some like technical issues why we need to increase it more during Q1, but we managed still to improve output by 20%, and we will ramp up the utilization rate to more than 90% during Q2 moving forward on the back of the order book adding working days. So we're going from roughly 220 working days to 340 on an annualized level. And on the top of the cycle, previously we have been making EBITs of between 20% and 23%. If this development continues, I expect it has to be up on those levels again in 2015 and 2016. But of course, time will tell and how that develops. But very, very positive outlook at the moment. All the key niche segments in which we are active are healthy. Don't expect a dramatic improvement in Q2. It's a gradual build-up as we move along. Okay, then a couple of words about CapEx and cash flow, page 25. We've cut our investment for this year a bit from our previous estimates to 103 million. Our budget was 116. We've done some changes, mainly related to Russia. And we'll be saving in cash terms in the ballpark of 20 to 25 million in cash compared to last year. So we're looking at the cash flow development for this year. We made an operating cash flow last year of roughly 350 million. And I expect that to improve compared to this year by the effect of CapEx and also some lower working capital. So we'll see an improvement of cash flow for this year, which should bode good for dividend payout ratios and so on. Of course, all this subject to Russia being able to collect everything and so on, but presently we have not seen any disturbance whatsoever in the payments or collecting what we provided to the market. Okay, then I think we'll move to page 27, just a summary. So as a summary, Russia provided that we don't escalate too much, volume growth, but top line declining, with ASP coming down a bit, Western markets, healthy growth on total level. We will see growth in passenger car tire volumes and also in heavy tire volumes. We expect Vianor to be positive, provide a better EBIT, heavy tires to provide a better EBIT, and then passenger car tires to be somewhat down compared to last year in EBIT terms, but having a more effect on top line. So all in all, net sales and operating profit declining, with net result improving 80 to 100 million probably, and cash flow improving perhaps between 20% and 30%, 20 to 30 million compared to last year. I'll end my monologue here and move on to the Q&A, and we'll start, as usual, with questions here in Helsinki. And then later on, move on to the questions on the phone and the teleconference. Please state your name and the company you're from before asking the question.
Yes, this is Tom Sogman from Handelsbanken. A couple of questions. First of all, if the ruble remains at the current level, what is your guidance for net financial cost? What is it?
I think you'd better talk to Anna. I don't have that number in my head at the moment.
But they are pretty significant.
They are pretty
even
significant.
Even if you have no debt until you have price.
Yes. Perhaps, Anna, could you help me here? And do you have a number in Beginning of the year, we had a total currency effect of 32 million.
Yeah,
the Russian ruble was majority of that, but not all, slightly more than 20 million, as we also had currency effects from from the Norwegian crown and the Canadian dollar, but kind of if you continue and make an estimate for the full year.
So if you are talking about the net finance expenses and forget the top line as such.
Yes.
So there, of course, we have the result of turning in euros, of which 7 million was hedging cost. At the moment, we have a current structure where we are hedging a ruble position. We then sub, so that roughly our net interest cost is roughly 20 million, and that is added roughly 10 million by the hedging cost of ruble. The rest is then coming on just hedging the FX receivables and that is done on a daily basis.
Yes, so I'd like to follow your question.
Okay. But you have so far not seen any issues with hedging the ruble receivables.
No.
It's still possible to use
bank hedging for that.
Then about custom risk, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't there around the 20% duty if you want to import tires to Europe to other countries than through Finland to the European Union from Russia?
No, that is incorrect. There is a custom duty of 4% for imports from Russia to the EU.
And there are no.
I'll continue. The 20%. Perhaps you're mixing up. There has been a 20% duty for import from EU and other countries into Russia, and that is declining. At present it's 18, and it's expected to go down to 16. Time will tell if and when. And then gradually it will go down to 10% by 2017. Previously there have been no duties for export from Russia into EU. In fact, there is now an export duty or import duty to EU from Russia, 4%. And that is also included in our numbers of Q1. There is also an import duty in North America for goods made in Russia, which is on the same level as the duty to the EU.
And then, given what is happening at the moment, do you have any plans to speed up the construction of a third factory just to downgrade the risk level?
Well, presently we have enough capacity in the Russian plant and also in the Finnish plant. So we can. Last year we produced between 15 and 16 million units combined in these two factories. We have capacity in these plants to make 25 million. Tires with some bottleneck investment. So we are not planning to do any panic reaction, start building a factory in Eastern Europe or Far East or anything else. And as I stated, my strong belief is that this is a hiccup, there is some problems, and we'll be back to growth in 2015 and 16. And normally, this type of crisis has taken about 18 months to become to the same level. If I look at the historical sinus curve and our numbers also on our chart, you can see that in 2009, our business in Russia dropped dramatically. It was on a higher level than in 2008, already in 2011. In fact, we passed past in mid-2010 the line. Volumes and the value. So if I take previous crisis back in 98, we had a ruble devaluation of 50%. It took 9 months to get back. And we have a couple of other examples where it happened before. So Nokia Tyres is not planning to start panic investments anyway at the moment. If the worst would come to worst and the situation escalates, if the like total trade would be stopped, and the customs and borderlines would be closed. We would lose, not be able to deliver from the Russian plant to Europe and other markets. We have roughly a 7 million volume going out from the Russian plant, and we would be able to, within one quarter, to replace half of that volume loss by ramping up the capacity in the Finnish plant, which we are running at low utilization today. Half we would lose short term. still we don't see that that would be a trigger to start the bank. Of course, there will be other implications, such as like what would happen to raw materials and so on. And it's fairly simple to reroute raw material imports and to Russia, to Asia. This crisis is between Europe and US and the Russians, not the Asians.
I'll to be a couple of questions on Russia. Could you maybe comment on what your competitors are doing right now in Russia? What is your feeling? Are some players starting to be more conservative in terms of filling pipelines or even pulling from the market?
Well, they are doing what they normally do. They are watching what we do. So at the moment, all of them are trying to like build distribution. As we prove to them that this is a very important part of the business concept. I've already told that we've taken the best girls in the dance already, so it's a bit difficult to get them to dance with other guys. We're looking at the plans for investment. We haven't got any like official signals of any slowing down at the moment, so the projects seem to be continued.
Okay, and then still on Russia.
Sorry. Perhaps one more point. Then I was talking about industrial structure, talking about the devaluation. We've seen like price increases in ruble terms from all our competitors, the Western competitors, and the French, the Germans, and the rest of the Western pack have been increasing between 5% and 10%. And the Asians, where the impact on the devaluation had been less, have announced significantly lower price increases, but still price increases also in global terms.
Okay, this was actually my next question.
Okay, but, fine.
But maybe lastly, what comes to gas sales in Russia, so far there have been some small growth this year, maybe driven by the rubble and so on. But more recently, there have been some signs that situation likely to slow down, and there are once again some signs that this car loan incentive program could be coming back on the table. What is your feeling about?
Of course, there has been like various discussions on how to like inject growth into Russia and the car market. But whether that materializes in a support program during this year, I don't know at the moment. There is rumors about it happening. But I think that it's not really that. The most important point is really the interest rate, which is now on an unhealthy level and having a big impact on Russian economy on all levels. As I stated, like read the Swedbank, the economist, view on this. In short, we believe that by not over like feeding the market with rubles would have a very positive effect on Russian economy, especially interest rates. And also by that happening on the economy, both let's say housing sales, consumer spending, car trade, and so on.
Hi, Kalle Karppinen from Danske Bank. Coming back to Russian pricing and ASPs again, looking at the Q1 figures with the 20% decline in sales and fairly positive volume, it seems like the ruble ASP impact was quite significant and negative. So can you give any guidance of what you expect for the full year as a balance between ruble price increases and the negative mix impact for Russian ASP? And as a result of that, do you believe that your ASP in Russia this year is still higher than it is in Western markets?
Okay, fine. First of all, if we take the first quarter, of course the ruble has devalued year on year by roughly 25-26%. If you take the first quarter last year and this year. And so there is quite a big impact because of that. Having said that, we had also some negatives because of the mix itself. You may remember that we made a product launch for Russia also during the beginning of the year by launching what is called Nokia Nordman 4. So we introduced a double brand into the mid-segment, which we already had in the top segment. And during the beginning of the year, we had been fighting the market and the Asian companies quite a lot with utilizing this new product. So the increase in sales volume relates pretty much to an increase in this new product range, which has a slightly diluting effect. What we estimate to happen is, which we see happening, is the mix changing in favor of Nordman 5 and Hakkapeliitta 8 and SUVs during the second quarter, which will have a positive effect on ASP, both in Google terms and also in Euro terms. And the ruble difference, if you take the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, we were talking about the ruble rate of roughly 44, and presently it's running roughly at 48-49. We estimate that all estimates are based on a ruble rate of roughly 49 to the euro. And which means that because the base changes when we move forward, the devaluation effect will be different quarter by quarter as we move forward. So we believe that the Russian ASP is at the in Q1 has bottomed and has turned to an improvement. How much we'll then be able to gain back in euro terms depends more on mix than on pricing increases. As I don't believe that we will see dramatic like price increases in global terms during this year. I would say that if we are lucky as an industry, we would perhaps be about half of the devaluation being factored in back in price increases in global terms. But as I said, it's still today too early to make a true statement on that. Okay, any other questions here in Helsinki? Okay, I have Tommy here. The microphone, please.
Tommy from Carnegie. Just a quick question regarding your taxation. What's the status of the tax dispute at the moment? And in particular, how much cash flow has taken place so far?
Cash effect is practically nothing. We are not paying it. We've been informed of what the taxman thinks, and of the 103 million which we got last year, and the additional 11 million we got in Q1, which is also absurd, like the first ones. And I won't tell you how we feel exactly, because that's probably end up in a newspaper, make a statement and irritate them too much. But we have not paid, and we don't see that to have any impact on our cash flow during this year. And the total process will probably take in the ballpark of 3 to 4 years before the end result of that is fully clarified. If we lose the case, we will have a cash impact, and we'll have to pay an interest of 7.5%. Presently, we don't pay the taxes, and we don't pay any interest. So that's where we are today. No impact today or this or next year. Okay, there seems to be no further questions here in Helsinki. I probably had a very long monologue, so we're going to move on to the phone lines and see what questions we might have from other markets. Please go ahead and ask questions if there are any.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Your first question comes from the line of Philip Watkins. Please ask your question.
Oh, good morning. It's Philip Watkins from Citi, and thanks for taking my question.
Could you please like turn up the volumes a bit on the line because I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? I just think this is a bad line. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes.
Just outside of Russia, just Central Europe and Nordics, I was just interested in what you were thinking about the pricing environment there. And really I'm thinking in the context of what Michelin have been saying, actually, about the pricing. And I know it doesn't really affect you as much, but in the Tier 2 space. Thanks.
Unfortunately, you're right. Your speech or your talking sounds like the Thai language at the moment. So I can't. Unfortunately,
you can't hear me.
Quite bad. Could it? I can't read you. Could you put the like technician speech and try to do something about it? At the moment, it's an appalling.
Okay.
Appalling.
Pricing Central Europe. No.
Come again,
okay.
Please?
No, price
okay,
and central.
Reach
I can't do anything, I'm sorry. I think it's the back. We'll just leave it.
Hopefully they have better line.
Okay, we'll leave it. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question comes to the line of Jeetan of Tourmont. Please ask
Hello? Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can hear you. Yes, you're on sound.
Okay, so the line from France is better than from the UK. I got the same question from Philippe, and I agree with him that for us the line is very bad. We have difficulties to listen to you. Regarding the pricing environment, you mentioned -1% in Europe in the first quarter. Can you give us an overview of the pricing environment overall in Scandinavia, in Europe, in North America? Is the situation improving in the coming quarters, or is is the same order of magnitude? That's my first question.
Okay, fine. Let's address the first one in order to make sure that I remember the question. So pricing environment on different geographical markets and how we see that developing. In Central Europe, our ASP, as we reported, came down by 1%, which was an effect basically of price reductions which were made during what I call the price war from end of 2012 and into 2013. We reported already in 2013 that during the fourth quarter that we saw the situation improving and the price war was stopping. There has been some price issues still in Central Europe, but what we believe that the market is fairly stable, and we don't expect the prices to decline during the rest of 2014. So in euro terms, we expect pricing in Europe to be on the same level as we have at the moment, and on the same level or slightly better than last year during the second half. When looking at the Scandinavian market, it's pretty much the same. We have also, like in Central Europe, a situation where channel inventory is lower than in beginning of 2013 in winter tires, and there is no price fighting going on in the Scandinavian market. So we expect again in the Scandinavia to have a fairly flat ASP compared to last year. So nothing dramatically changing as such. In North America, we've seen prices come down a bit, and again, it relates to the price reductions which were made in the total market in 2013. So there has not been further further decline in 2014. And of course, we already have started deliveries also winter tires to North America and contracting. So also in North America, we see a better situation than during last year. Prices are, in absolute terms, still clearly down compared to the level where we were at the beginning of 2012, as the whole industry has gone through quite severe price fighting during the intermediate period.
Okay.
So when going forward, I'm more positive on pricing than on all markets compared to last year.
Okay, and if I understood well, the pricing in Russia has increased by approximately 10%.
Why it would decrease, or why it would increase?
In ruble.
Okay, in ruble terms, well, the main reason is that the ruble has devalued by 25%, and all our competitors import goods from other countries with other currencies. So they're hit with a significantly lowered pricing in Russia in their own currency. And the reason the Western players have increased more than the Japanese is a direct effect of the currencies affecting bigger on these competitors than on the Asians.
Okay, but you follow the price increase in ruble term in Russia, correct?
We have not made dramatic changes. We made some changes at the end of the year and during the beginning of this year, but nothing dramatic.
Okay. My second question and my last one is regarding the taxation. I'm a little bit lost, and I heard the previous comment, and I'm not sure I fully understood. The additional penalty to the Finnish tax authorities is not cashed out. Is it correct?
The additional tax penalty which we received in 2014 in the first quarter concerning 11 million euros does not relate to the same case which we had during last year. It relates to our operation in the United States and the structure of sales and our company structure in that country. And the reason we are very confident that the taxman is wrong again, if there is a ruling already by the highest court in Finland which approves the method which we are using. And the taxman's decision is directly against the highest court decision in Finland.
Okay, but that amount has not been cashed out, right? It's only a provision, right?
No, the total number on taxes was 100.3 million last year, which relates to Russia, which and we are in court. We have not paid anything. And as I told to Tommy in the morning, we are not going to pay anything. And in the new case relates to North America and singling out years 2008 to 2012. And a structure in our business where there is a penalty of 11 million, a one-off, which we of course also are challenging. As I already told, there is no grounds for it.
Okay, and it's one-off for the U.S.
The tax man in Finland seems to be desperate, and again, I won't go deeper into that. But there are a couple of companies who do book that.
Okay, I think I understood. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes to the line of Nils Fier. Please ask a question. Nils Fier?
Yes, hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Just a question. You said at the beginning of your presentation that you are expecting the ASP in euro terms to be down in the full year 5 to 10%. this year. I assume that the decrease was slightly lower than that in the first quarter, so you expect a worsening of the situation going forward. On the other side, you say that the ASP will go up in the second half versus first quarter. So can you just clarify what you are expecting now going forward?
Okay, well, it seems that like this is going from bad to worse, and I was talking about the fire line while we seem to have moved to Myanmar. So it's, the reception is unfortunately unaudible, so I won't be able to answer you. What I propose is that as the technicians don't seem to be able to fix it, we will cut the questions, the Q&A here, and I would advise you then to call me or our CFO, Anne Leskela, on the Nokia and switchboard, and I will be available to you for any questions you might have. We'll be happy to oblige and help you with any questions you may have. Thank you, and sorry for the technical problem. Thank you for
attending.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone.
Okay. Good. Well, that's that for today. So now you just have to decide whether you believe that it's a passing moment or not a passing moment.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thanks for participating. You may all disconnect.